Well, welcome back to Fairhope Hospice Presents. We have Rick Schneider, Community Education Coordinator, with us. Welcome back, Rick.
Good to be here. I'm learning all sorts of stuff about myself.
About yourself. There you go. When you start talking, you just get on a roll.
It just keeps going, yeah.
And then we have Kim Shook, and she's Community Education Coordinator as well. Welcome, Kim.
Well, hello there.
And one of the things I will introduce is that Kim is going to be taking Rick's place on radio. So she will be working with me for a short time, and then we'll be handing off the torch. So welcome, Kim. And I know you've done radio before.
Yes.
And you've been on our radio program here. So we're just transitioning things, and I'm sure Kim will have Rick back on. But this is Rick's last show that's scheduled at this point. So, yeah. And we're kind of highlighting Rick's career and what all he's done with Fairhope. And during the break, we were just talking about, I mean, you've written articles, you've written a book of stories. So let's just talk a little bit about that.
Well, what's interesting about the book, doing research, and probably the basic thing I learned about writing the book, they always say, if you want to do something, do it, and people will rise up. And I write the Something Mores in Logan Daily. It was about 1,000 words. It was two columns, pretty large.
Yeah.
And I had a bunch of them collected, and I was getting some compliments from the Town Crier insertion of the Something More in the Logan paper as well. And people say you ought to write a book. I'm thinking, well, it's already written.
And, sure, if you take some of the stories that you've experienced and written about, absolutely.
That's what a lot of the Something More was. So I edited it and took out Fairhope, because every story had Fairhope mentioned 2 or 3 times. So a book, you know, wanted to make it more generic and just about hospice.
Sure.
And looking for a title, I went round and round about stuff, but there was a story that happened at the Pickering House where a woman was actively dying. She had been in a deep sleep for days, whether it's a coma or not, she was in a very deep sleep. And she just sat up and said, I am hungry. And her daughter was there and said, well, Mom. And luckily the aide was there, and she says, well, what can we get you? And she said, I want a Wendy's bacon double cheeseburger and a Diet Coke. And the mom said, well, you can't do that. And the aide said, sure we can. In fact, we can fix you a real hamburger in the kitchen. You know, we can do that. And she said, okay, so we fixed her a bacon double cheeseburger, and we went to the store to buy a Diet Coke. And we knew she couldn't swallow, couldn't chew. At the end of life, you know, the saliva, she's dehydrated. Long story short, we crushed a piece of, she said, oh, if I could just taste the bacon. So now we know she wanted the taste of bacon. And so they crumpled the bacon in little tiny bits and put the crumpled bits into a bowl of a spoon, took a second spoon, crushed them together, and just touched that one spoon to her lip, and she got the taste of grease, the bacon grease. And she said, oh, that is good grease. I said, if that doesn't describe what Fairhope does, I don't know what does.
Absolutely.
Somebody wanted a bacon double cheeseburger at the end of life, and we did it. We gave her the taste, and it was completely safe. And so about a year ago, I was making a little presentation to the group at the county fairgrounds and gave that example of what we do at Fairhope. And I didn't know who the groom daughter was or the woman who passed.
Yeah.
And so anyway, a lady came up afterwards and said, when you said cheeseburger, that was my mom.
Aww.
I go, holy cow, and we had a great conversation. And that's one of the things I like about this outreach, is that we can extend what we've done for people and let everybody know what we've done. And so anyway, it's a book, and it's been doing good. It's on, and what was interesting, I key punched a little bit ago, not a little bit, months ago on Google.
Yeah.
And it showed up in Arabic. You can see all the Arabic, and then you see Good Grease there, and the name of the book is That's Good Grease. And I should have put in That's Good Bacon Grease to make it a little more common sense, I guess. But they said, doing research on the title, you need to grab people's attention, keep it short.
Yeah.
And so, and one of our volunteers did the cover photo.
Mm-hmm.
But long story short, I was going to write it, and I just happened to look in the Columbus Dispatch, which I never read, and it said, writing group meeting in Short North. And here's the phone number. So I called and said, yeah, we have a woman's writing club, or a writing club, and we're having a meeting. So I went to it, and she announced that this will be our last meeting, but I thought, oh, great, you know.
Find this good meeting, and it's the last one.
The last one, she said, but our guest is going to be a guy named Rob Price from a self-publishing company. He's going to describe how to self-publish a book. I said, holy mackerel. Long story short, I met him, and his company helped me publish the book.
That's pretty neat.
And all this stuff just rose up to help me as we went. And if you're going to do something, do it, and it'll happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't know nothing about writing a book, and now I'm on my second one. And it's more of the same. I'm doing a little bit more, getting it a little bit better, grouping them into different chapters. And it is along the line of Chicken Soup for the Soul or Reader's Digest. Simple stories stand alone.
Yeah.
So you can just do it. And one woman's group said they were doing a Bible study on it because it was talking about caring for the dying, which one of the Beatitudes.
Well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. So it was.
Who would have ever thought that would have happened, you know? That's nice.
Yeah, things happen. And it's sold around the world, New Zealand, France, Australia.
Nice. You know,
it's on the internet. So I'm trying to keep a generic hospice and palliative care kind of interchangeable around the world.
So right.
Well,
I know in Spain, palliative care, you know, hospice means like a hospice actually means like a imprisonment type thing. So, I mean, it has a different meaning throughout the world. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, the hospice is palliative care in certain areas.
You know,
but it was very interesting. And then I have a couple of internationally known people who are considering writing the foreword for my second book. One lady was getting her PhD in hospice communications, of all things. She asked for stories, and this was like in 1999 or 2000. I sent her some stories, and she needed them for her PhD dissertation. And 3 years ago, I was going through my notes, and I found her thank you card where she thanked me for the story. So I tracked her down, and she's nationally known or internationally known. She's at University of California's Los Angeles. And if she writes the foreword, that'll be a heavy hitter.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. So again, you never know. You give first and you get second.
Yeah.
And I helped her out, and that was the end of it. And 20 years later, she might help me.
Yeah. It's a small world when you think about it, you know.
And, you know,
especially when you're giving to other people.
That's why Fair Hope does so well. We give with no expectations, and we get very nice donations, memorials, you know, for people to say thank you for what we've done with no expectations. We just help them.
Right. That's what we're all about.
You give first and you get second. It just takes a while sometimes.
It does.
And that's the whole purpose of what I try to do as a volunteer. I hear about, that's so sad and morbid. How can you do that? And on the radio, what we're doing and the writing, I try to convey the goodness of what we do. And everybody's in one sentence, 6 months or less, if the disease follows its normal course.
Right.
You can be homeless, you can be a billionaire. In fact, real quick, one of the patients I had perfected freeze-dried coffee. We wouldn't have Taster's Choice if this guy didn't perfect the manufacturing process.
And he was a patient of Fairhope's, yes.
And he owns a machine shop, and he said that they had PhD people from all over the world trying to figure it out. They can make it in a laboratory, they couldn't mass produce it. He had an open-end wrench and kind of made a few adjustments here and there. Bib overalls. But, it's been interesting, and I try to convey the goodness of what we do. And it's not morbid.
No, it's not. So, Kim, are you ready to take on the challenge?
I'm ready. I've been working with Rick alongside him for many years now, and so...
Way back.
It's going to be a hard act to follow here, but we'll certainly try.
Everybody has their own way of doing it, and I remember being a guest on your show when you were Canal Winchester Chamber President. You had your show for the chamber, and I was on there, so now we're just reversing it.
I interviewed different businesses in the community up there in Canal Winchester, so this is kind of about the same thing, and talking with folks and our patients, staff that take care of our patients will be some of our guests.
I can
and
say,
community people, so it'll be great.
It'll be nice, and we've had a lot of the administrators on different nursing homes, so you know those folks on a first-name basis, and they can convey how we work together.
Yeah, how we partner with people in the community and caring for their patients.
And I know we've even had families that have received our care on. Remember, we've had some...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some of the stories they have told, you know, just a testimonial from people that have experienced the care and want to go on, you know, and just tell their story to listeners so that they can educate them from a family standpoint, you know. It's really, that is just so touching to me that people want to do that. I mean, I know we have testimonials on our website that people can see, but it's just nice when people want to do radio or... that kind of thing. So I just encourage us to keep that kind of stuff up too.
And I have to thank you on the air. Denise, you always say morale starts at the top and works its way down. And we did that. We had an incredible show one time, and our producer wasn't here, Mark Bohack, and I did it all by myself.
Yes,
you were there. And I forgot to turn the record button on. I turned it on. I thought I had the record button.
I remember that.
And you let me stay on and do more radio.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Things happen, you know, it's all good. And, you know, that's what's part of being human, right? We all do things like that. But it was fun. We got a laugh out of it.
Yeah. And we
after we were, like, shocked that it happened.
After they took me off the gallows, yeah, then we had a good laugh.
I'm like, no, you're kidding, because we actually had a family guest on that time. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? Yeah. No, I'm not kidding. I'm like, okay,
it was tear-filled with laughter. It was your classic show.
But we just redid it, and it worked out fine. It was good. So, yeah. If not better the second time, right?
Yeah.
Well, again, I want to thank Rick and, you know, wish him happiness and fun in his retirement with his family and friends. And he won't be a stranger to Fairhope. He's still going to volunteer here. So
I love being here. So
we love having you. And we want, you know, to wish you the best of retirement. And, you know, you could always be part of our family.
Oh, yeah. And always remember to celebrate life.
We'll let Rick end it then.
Thank you for listening. And remember, celebrate life.